This study on the Holy Spirit is offered for the edification of all students of God's Word by spiritandtruth.org. Pastor Paul Hennebury of Agape Bible Church will be our teacher. It is our prayer that our time together will deepen your understanding of the Bible and allow you to draw closer in your relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's begin our time of study with Dr. Hennebury.
By this, what is his major concern? And in both of these passages, I hope that you noticed that there was nothing said about an impression that one felt. There was nothing here said about a feeling that comes upon a person from the Spirit's leading or the Spirit's presence. And this is a very important truth. I think that there's been a lot of misleading teaching about the Spirit's leading in a Christian's life that has focused an awful lot on feelings and on impressions. We feel that the Holy Spirit is causing us to go in this direction or in that direction. But in none of the passages that deal with this particular doctrine is that at all present. And that's most important. And I'm going to come back to that and explain a little bit about why that is later on. But if you'll turn first to the Romans passage in Romans chapter 8, I want to point out to you one of the two main meanings of the Spirit's leading of the Christian. So Romans chapter 8, and our main text here is in verse 14. And it says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God," or are children of God. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Now, as you can see, this is not saying, you need to take some kind of a test, a spiritual test. Do I feel that I'm being led by the Spirit of God at this particular moment? Take my spiritual pulse. I'm not sure, you know. I mean, if I'm really honest with myself, I want to be led by the Spirit, but I also feel that there's quite a bit of me that wants to do the leading. So in a situation like that, I hope that you can see that you're never going to get peace. You're never going to get a resolution as to are you a child of God or not. But this passage is saying that if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are a child of God. So please don't think that that is what Paul is referring to. Here he is just stating that whereas a person who has not received Jesus Christ as their Savior, a person who is not relying on what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago, bearing their sins on the cross, bearing the justice of God against their sins, if they have not trusted in Christ, then they know nothing of the presence and the governance of the Holy Spirit in their life. The Holy Spirit has not come into their lives. But a person who has trusted in Jesus, a person who, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8 here, who has received Jesus, he has the Spirit of Christ. Just as those who do not have the Spirit of Christ are, as Paul says, none of his. He doesn't know them. They don't belong to him. Those that have received Jesus have the Spirit of Christ and are his. It is their identity as children of God that Paul is talking about here when he's talking about Are you led? Are you governed by the Holy Spirit? Are you governed by the Holy Spirit? But I need to push that a little bit further. I need to kind of examine that more. Because again, the problem comes up. Well, sometimes I feel governed by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I will let him lead me. And sometimes it's kind of, I kind of take the wheel. Is that what Paul is referring to? Not primarily here in this passage. He says in Romans chapter 8 that if you are a child of God, you are a spiritual person. I mean, by definition, you're a spiritual person. You are connected to God as your Father because the Holy Spirit has come into you and given you a new life. He's given you everlasting life. He's given you a new identity in Jesus Christ so that the old self is taken away. And the old home is, as it were, deserted. And now you have a new home, a new identity. Your home is heaven, glory. Your identity is no longer a child of the devil or a child of the world, but a child of the Creator, a child of God. You are a spiritual person. Now, what makes you spiritual? That's right. The Holy Spirit is that which makes you spiritual. Straight away, I hope that you can see that following that logic, it means that the Christian does not recognize people of other faiths, other religious systems, as spiritual people. Do you understand? Because the understanding of the Bible is you can only be a spiritual person if you have received the Holy Spirit. And the only way you can receive the Holy Spirit is to trust in Jesus as your Savior. Only He died for your sins. Only He is the Son of God. Only He rose again for your justification to guarantee that there is a life after this life. Only He sends the Holy Spirit to be with you. Now, in this world, there's an awful lot of talk about spirituality. In fact, spirituality, quote unquote, is on the rise. Did you know that? Spirituality is on the rise. But it's not what used to be meant by that. I mean, quite a long time ago. Where spirituality was usually thought of as being Christianity, just another kind of a synonym for Christianity. Now, it's kind of the opposite of that. It is seeking some kind of spiritual connection beyond what we're told by scientists and by, our Western secular society, which is that there is no spiritual realm. You're just kind of a robot. You know, I mean, all you are molecules bonded together doing their thing. And that's, you're just a completely mechanized individual. That's the atheistic, that's the naturalistic view of you. You have no purpose. You have no reason for you being here, other than you're just an accident of nature. And so people who are not satisfied with that, can't live with that, seek some kind of a spiritual connection. But what they don't want is that they don't want somebody telling them what to do. They don't want God coming into the picture and saying, you're a creature of mine, you are obliged to listen to me as your Creator. And I'm going to tell you some home truths about yourself which you're not going to like. Like, you are a rebel, you are a sinner, you are somebody who prefers independence from me than coming into fellowship with me. You want to do your own thing. People that listen to that message will listen to God when he says, I have sent Jesus into the world to save you. People who don't like the sound of that message will go to their own sorts of spirituality. Do you see? That makes them feel good. It makes them feel as though there is something more to life than just this kind of mechanistic view of life. But what it doesn't do is that it doesn't bring salvation. It doesn't give them the answers that they need about why they are here, what is their purpose, and where are they going. This can only be brought by the Holy Spirit himself. Thank you. What it is referring to then in Romans chapter 8 verse 14, when it says that we are led by the Spirit of God, is that if you are in fact a Christian, if you are indwelt by God's Spirit, then God sees you as being governed by the Spirit. Do you see? You're under a different rule. You're under a different leader. Not the world anymore. Not the world's way of appraising things or valuing things, but now under God's way. And so what characterizes a true Christian from an unbeliever is that a true Christian has some submission, to a great part, a submission to the Word of God. Do you see that? They try to hear when God speaks. Do they do it perfectly? They do not. They do not. But there is a characteristic that's there that wasn't there before. There is a changed life, a changed identity. And so the passage continues and says, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Before you were a believer, before you've received Jesus as your Savior, you didn't cry out to God as your Father. You didn't have that kind of relationship with him. You thought of a God who was there somewhere, maybe. But you didn't have any kind of personal relationship with him. You didn't know him. Paul says that if you're led by the Spirit, it's because you have that relationship to God as your Father. And in fact, the words that he uses and the grammar that's used here really reinforce this. The fact that God is your Father now. He wasn't your Father before you knew Christ. Now he is. And as a Father, he watches over you. As a Father, he'll take care of you. As a Father, he will bring you into his glory, into his kingdom. He's now your Father. You're his responsibility. And the Holy Spirit will lead you to glory. So you're governed. Your life is governed by him because you're adopted into God's family. And you know, this idea of adoption, it's a very important truth about ourselves. Of course, none of us are children of God by birth. We don't spring into this world, despite what liberal theologians tell us. We don't spring into this world and become children of God straight away. We're actually in defiance of God. Look at the world. Do you think the world is characterized by people who act like God would have them to act? Who have regard to what God says in His Word? Who, when they see themselves doing something wrong, they catch themselves and say, I shouldn't have done that. That's not what God wants me to be like. Rather, no. They would rather throw off everything that God says as being restrictive, as being legalistic. It's not legalistic at all. As being somehow hampering their progress towards happiness. And so adoption means something very particular, very special. And let me just give you the four major ideas of adoption that would have been understood by the readers of the Epistle to the Romans back when Paul wrote it. The first thing is an adopted son, this is back in the Roman world, was taken out of his previous situation and placed in an entirely new relationship to his new adopting father. Secondly, an adopted son started a new life as part of his new family with all of his old debts cancelled. Do you see that? All of his old debts, all of his old life cancelled out as far as the Roman law, as far as adoption was concerned. Third, an adopted son was considered no less important than any other biologically born son in his adopting father's family. It was none of this, oh, well, you're adopted, you're a second-class son, you're a second-class daughter. No, if you were chosen to come into a family, you had all of the rights, all of the honor, all of the privileges of being a biologically born son or daughter. And then fourthly, an adopted son experienced a changed status with his old name set aside and a new name given him by his adopting father. When you received Jesus, you were adopted into God's family, and God the Father gave you a new name. Once you were without Him, once you were a rebel, once you were independent of Him and you didn't want Him, now God recognizes you as His. He has given you a new name. You are adopted into His family. Do you see the closeness of what's going on here? And this is bolstered by the fact that in Romans 8, and in fact in Galatians 5:2, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of adoption. And so it is the Holy Spirit Himself who comes to you as a Spirit of adoption. It's not just that God is pleased that you've received Jesus and now from afar decides that your status has changed, you're different. Rather, when you received Jesus, God sent His Holy Spirit into your life, into your heart, as it were. You have the Holy Spirit within you. He resides personally within you. So that the relatedness that you have now to God is one of the strongest affinity. It cannot be broken. God guarantees it. He recognizes you, and He recognizes you so much as His son, as His daughter, that He sends His Holy Spirit, the everlasting Spirit, into your life, into your heart. You're His. You're His. You have the Spirit of adoption within you. You are His. That's part of what it means by the leading of the Spirit. That's your identity. Further, it says here in this passage, you are led by the Spirit of God, you are sons of God, you did not receive the spirit of slavery or the spirit of bondage to fall back into fear. God does not want you to fear. God does not want you to be anxious about your soul. Please understand this, that what God has done for you is that he has sent the Spirit of love, the Spirit of truth, into your life. And love forces out fear. But here's the thing. Here's the battle for us. To believe it. To receive it. To make that part of our daily lives. That we understand, I've fallen again. I've failed you again, God. Does not make any impact at all in God's love for you. In God's love for you. That love holds you fast. That love has you. Owns you, will never give up on you. And the Spirit who resides within you loves you and wants you to recognize that you are loved by God. If you recognize that, if you see that, even though you mess up, even though you're like me and you don't obey when you should obey. And you find yourself, your thoughts sometimes drifting. You're praying for somebody, and then you find yourself that you're thinking about something vain and silly. God certainly might think, well, there he goes again, you know. There's Henry for you. But it doesn't mean he doesn't love me. It doesn't mean that I have to start fearing God. I mean, in the sense of being terrified by God, fearing that my soul is lost. God has me. I'm adopted into his family. I have the spirit of adoption. I'm led by the Spirit. Now, if you'll quickly go over to Galatians chapter 5. This other passage has a slightly different nuance to it. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16 says, but I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But, and here's our text, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You are not under the law. A religious person wants to put themselves under some kind of law. Whether it's the Ten Commandments, or all of the commandments in the Old Testament, whether it's a bunch of other rules and regulations by another religious leader, whether it's something they've invented themselves, a set of principles that they live by, they want to put themselves under some kind of law, and then they want to see if they can meet the demands of that law. Often they find themselves fudging. Maybe lowering the bar a little bit. Can't keep that one, better lower it a little bit. Keep on messing up there, let's maybe omit that one and put an easier one in there. Or they will create a law that doesn't lead anywhere. In other words, the only benefit you have from keeping the law and reaching the standard is the fact that you've reached the standard. That's what a lot of the world's religions are like. Buddhism, Hinduism, you just reach the standard. There's no afterlife, there's no value in it, you've just kind of reached a standard. Well, bully for you. Unfortunately, there is a law from God, if you want to try it. And that law has lots of precepts in it, but they're summed up, basically, in the Ten Commandments. And those Ten Commandments are summed up in just two. So they're easy, okay? Just these two. You just need to love God with all your heart, strength, mind, and will. And love others like yourself, or in fact, above yourself. And you need to keep on doing that day in, day out, 24/7, for the rest of your life. Oh, by the way, and you're supposed to have done that before you decided to do it as well. Because if you didn't do that before you decided to do it, you've still broken it, do you see? Any takers? Do you honestly think you can keep God's law to that perfection, to that degree? That's what God requires. That's one way of salvation for you. I mean, there are two ways. You can be perfect, or you can turn to the perfect one. That's right. And so, in Galatians, you're led by the Spirit and you're not under the law. The law doesn't have any authority over you to point out your faults, to point out where you fall short, to tell you that you are not what you ought to be and therefore God will not accept you because he doesn't accept anything but perfection. You don't need to worry about that standard. You have the Holy Spirit. You're led by the Spirit in that sense. You see, here in Galatians chapter 5, you are either led by the Spirit or you're led by the law. Do you see that? But it's your choice. In speaking about the leading of the Spirit here, then again, we're not talking about a subjective feeling, are we? We're talking about how God sees us and how we see ourselves, having trusted what God has said. In Galatians 5, at the end there, just turn to verse 25, Paul puts it this way. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, if the Holy Spirit has come into your life, and you are a born-again Christian, and you are a child of God, and you know that, you cry out, Abba, Father, if all these things are true of you, then try to keep in step with the Spirit. Just as a child tries to keep up with the parent. Try to walk under the guidance of the Holy Spirit within you. Because there are desires that we have. I mean, if left to ourselves, these desires war, we're told in verse 17, war against what the Spirit wants to work in our lives. If you want to know what these things are, they're listed for us in verses 19 and through 21. Sexual immorality. The world loves sexual immorality. The world thinks that if you are sexually immoral, you're moral. You're right. You're freed. It lavishes praise on the sexually immoral. Hugh Hefner has just passed to his reward. His whole life was built on sexual exploitation and immorality and a rejection of God. I wonder why he rejected God. I wonder why he dreamt up reasons why God would not judge him at the end of his life. I understand the lure of sexual immorality. So do you. People like Hugh Hefner and many, many other people in this world rely on that. Get their money from that. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, putting other things before God, sorcery even. And then these pesky little sins like enmity. You know, there's somebody you really, really don't like and you can't hear anything good about them. Enmity, that's what that word means. Strife. You're not a peacemaker. You create strife. Or if anyone upsets you, woe betide them. Jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like that. You recognize that list? Do you recognize yourself in that list? Maybe your past life. Maybe some of these things you still recognize as being a problem. These are the things of the world. These are the things that are created by not yielding to the Holy Spirit, by not following God. As I said, the world thinks many of these things are great. God will damn you for these things. Do you understand? God will damn you for these things. You will not get into heaven if you live like this. Hugh Hefner, I don't wish anybody ill. I wouldn't like, you know, I hope there was some kind of a miraculous deathbed conversion. I do know that Lee Strobel witnessed to him. He did hear the gospel. I also know he rejected it. Where's Hugh Hefner today? Almost certainly in hell. Paying for each one of the sins. Paying for each one of the lives that he wrecked. Paying for the impurity that he lived by. Folks, he wasn't led by the Spirit of God. Do you want a life that is different than that? Do you want a life that is led by the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God will not lead you into those things. He will not want you to go down the road like that. He will want to create in you these kinds of things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those things. He will want you to be like Christ. And so the second meaning of being led by the Spirit is realizing that in order to achieve these things, in order to be a better person than you were, you need God's help. You need to yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Word. Obey His Word. He's not going to make you do it. This is a big mistake that God's people make. I do this. I say, Lord, help me to stop committing this sin. Help me to stop being like this. Help me to feel closer to you. Lord, you do it. Lord, you do it. You come and help me. I do that. You know what most of the time God's going to do? Nothing. You know why? Because he's told you what to do. He's already told you what to do. Are you obeying? Are you doing what God's told you to do? Are you entertaining sins in your life? Are you trusting on your feelings? We'll look at that in just a second. Are you listening to the world? Are you making good use of your time? Are you serving? God, help me. God, guide me. God, lead me. Why? You're not paying any attention anyway. It's so easy for us, isn't it, to just say, look, if you would just help me. We get people knocking on our door all the time at this church with their stories. They've all got stories. Some of them are the same story. Really? It's like they exchange stories out there. So here's one that I heard from two different people, okay, in two different locations. They got picked up by this woman who said that they would take them somewhere. And then this woman asked for a bit of money for help for gas and so on. And she also sent me into the store or something like this to get something for her. And then when I came out, she'd gone. And took all my stuff with her. Can you help me? I heard that from two different people. We can, if we want to, live like that. And we can, if we want to, say, look, I'm trying. Can you help me? You know what I say to those people? Because I try to witness to them most of the time. I say, well, what are you doing in your life? Why are you here? Are you here? Are you here because you are, you know, harvesting pot? You think that's a good life choice? Are you here, because you just want freedom, or you want to lack responsibility? How long can you run away from responsibility? Talk to them about God. You're a child of God. God loves you. Christ died for you. Well, you know, I know God loves me. I know I'm a child of God. No, I said, I didn't say you were a child of God. I said that God loves you. You need to receive Christ as your Savior. Well, we're all children of God. I'm trying to help them by telling them the truth. Do you understand? I'm trying to help them, but they're not interested. They just want stuff. And they'll say anything that they think I want to hear in order to get stuff, and then they will go on their way and they will not be changed. We can be like that even as Christians. Lord, help me get over this sin. Help me feel closer to you. And the response of God is, I am close to you. I am close to you. What has your feelings got to do with anything? Have you received Jesus? My Holy Spirit is within you. You're my child. I love you. I'm going to be with you forever. Believe it. Let that truth kindle in your heart. Let it be something you meditate on. Let it be something that starts to glow within you and take control of you. Then you'll have the feelings. But don't ask for the feelings. Just believe the truth. Are you obeying me? Are you yielding to my spirit? Are you yielding to my word? Or are you giving yourself excuses and just asking me to fix a problem I've already fixed in Christ, but you don't want to come to Christ to get fixed? I counsel a lot of people, and that is always what I'm trying to do. Steve, the same way. You're always trying to get them, if they're Christians, you're always trying to get them just to see, A, what God says about them, and then B, what God says they're to do, and are you doing it? If you can get people to do those two things, you can get them under God's governance. You can get them to realize that they are to yield to the Spirit. Thirdly and finally here then, from what I've said here and what the apostle is speaking about in these chapters, it's really important that we understand that the leading of the Holy Spirit, and here I'm going to get a little controversial. It's not like me, I know. But the leading of the Holy Spirit is not God told me so. Okay? I know that a lot of us say that. I know that a lot of us fall into that. But that, you don't find that anywhere in the Bible. Unless you think you're inspired, that is.